Hello, this is Mardell Gunn with The Garden Conversation, and we are once again doing an on-site garden. One of the joys of doing Garden Conversation on-site is I get to go to places that are new, and I get to see new gardens and new places, and I'm at a totally new garden today at Helena Mensch. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they are out here at Mosquito Lake area. And in fact, quite close to the lake they live. And wow, what some of you may know her because she's been selling at the farmer's market, which is what got my attention. I said, oh, we got somebody who's growing enough food in this community that they've got extra. So it caught my attention and I said, I want to come and see what you're doing. And so right now, we are standing in her hoop house, which is, how big did you say that this was?
It's about 27 by 36 feet, so just under 1,000 square feet.
And what a beautiful one it is. How many years have you had this now? Two, three?
This is my third summer
year.
Mm-hmm. Growing in it.
Mm-hmm. And growing the typical things that you grow in a hoop house, of mm-hmm. cucumbers, tomatoes, and peppers? These are peppers in here?
Basil, mm-hmm. beans. I have done a dry shelling bean in the past.
Oh,
and
really?
Had really good
what
luck
variety?
With it.
Do you remember?
Bingo and I'm blanking the name of the other one.
Wow.
One was a bush type and one was a climbing.
And you actually got shelled?
Yeah.
Dried
beans. Yeah. And I actually still have a few that I'm still cooking with.
Well, I'm doing that for the first time this year. I'm attempting to do that. I have known, I'm sure that there's other people in this community who have done it, but it's not a common thing because you need a fair amount of heat mm-hmm. in order to get that.
So space-wise, I found that it doesn't make sense. It's more just for fun.
Right.
And that's why I did not do it this year, so that I would have more space for this the green beans.
Mm-hmm. Which is certainly an issue for somebody doing what you're doing, because you are growing food for yourself mm-hmm. as well.
We eat out of the garden year-round. We're feeding ourselves out of mm-hmm. the garden. So mm-hmm. I have a root cellar where I keep potatoes and carrots, parsnips, all the root vegetables. And then I blanch and freeze all the greens and do a lot of fermenting, mm-hmm. Canning. And I don't buy produce.
Isn't that that's such a wonderful feeling when you can go the whole winter and not go into the grocery store to get anything that we buy fruit. That's the one thing. And I see you've got some beginning fruit trees out there as well, which is the motivation, because when you live here, that's oftentimes the one thing that you do have mm-hmm. to buy because it's harder to grow. Do you have berries? I haven't really noticed.
I have some strawberries and a few raspberries that were on the property when we bought it. And I'm not sure if they're a wild variety or if they were something the previous owners had planted. So I just kind of weed out the strawberries and they end up doing pretty well.
Right.
I would like to do more of that.
Strawberries are incredibly labor intensive, in my opinion. It's one of my most labor intensive crops. And so, which is tough when you're when you're growing things to sell as well as for your own needs. You try to do crops that don't take a whole lot of labor, I assume.
That's right, yeah.
So before we leave the hoop house, I wanted to talk about, you've got these strings that are going up from your cucumbers and tomatoes. So tell me about that. Why are they there and how are you doing that system?
Well, I'm training. I have a indeterminate tomato variety that will continue to just grow and grow mm-hmm. up. And since my hoop house is, it's like 17 feet tall.
Wow, it is. It's huge.
I have a lot of headspace, so it makes sense to go up. So I'm training them up and just pruning off the laterals, and then I wind them around these strings that I have mm-hmm. hanging mm-hmm. From the ceiling. And same with the cucumbers. It just gives more space and keeps everything a lot tidier.
Mm-hmm. And cutting off those laterals just means that you've got a single stalk. Mm-hmm. I actually do two stalks on mine, but it just makes it tidier for sure and less foliage. So you get less mold and less insect infestation and all of that. So, but you do, the requirement for this is you have to have a way to have it suspended from the ceiling. So this would be harder to do in the field, or but I guess the truth of the matter is that nobody can grow cucumbers and tomatoes very easily outside here anyway, so
that's true.
It's kind of a moot point here. So so this is your hoop house. Mm-hmm. And we're walking outside of the hoop house now, and we're walking by this whole stash of asparagus. What are you going to do with this?
These are little asparagus starts that I've started from seed, and I have about 250 of them.
Wow.
So I'm hoping to get into asparagus production and become the asparagus queen.
So in our future, we can see locally grown asparagus here.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping.
Probably about 3 years, 3-4 years before.
It'd be 2 or 3 years before this stuff is ready.
Uh-huh. Oh, how exciting. I have asparagus envy. You already have a very nice looking asparagus patch over here, and that makes me envious because I don't have one yet. Someday.
And those I started from crowns that I purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my first decent harvest this spring.
So how many years ago? How many years did
that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And you got your good, that's pretty fast, pretty quickly. So so you've got a whole, we're standing now looking at this beautiful garden that's full of the standard crops of leeks, potatoes, peas. One thing you said that you were growing a broccoli, a mini broccoli. Did you call it a mini broccoli?
Mm-hmm.
With the idea of it being an earlier broccoli or smaller? Or
it's supposed to be earlier than a head broccoli, but mm-hmm. I found that it wasn't, so I don't think I'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to add, I have plenty of weeds growing too. And
isn't that the nature of gardening?
Yeah, and I think I've determined the best thing to do is to not stress and mm-hmm. just pull them when you can. Let them be mulch or put them in the compost, but as long as the plants are doing okay,
mm-hmm.
to not get stressed over the weeds.
Are there any particular crops that you find you have to be more careful of?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like the carrots,
like carrots
when they're young.
I was going to say carrots.
Yeah,
and
onions.
So yep. I wanted to talk about your onions because you are growing onions in a pretty unique way, at least for me, and I'm sure there's other people doing it this way, but you've got onions in clumps.
Yeah, this is the technique I got from Elliot Coleman, who's a farmer on the East Coast, and he's put out several really great books on organic gardening and farming.
And cold weather.
Yes.
His specialty is cold weather.
Very similar to mm-hmm. our mm-hmm. climate. And what he does is he starts in soil blocks,
mm-hmm.
and then with the onion he does 4 or 5 seeds per block. So then when he goes to plant them, he puts them about 8 to 12 or 10 inches or so apart, instead of doing like single
individual
onions
in a row,
mm-hmm. row, 1 inch apart. And I've had really great luck doing them this way. Had, you know, nice full size onion bulbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, they look very healthy now. I have a problem with my onions falling over and just, you know, falling onto the ground earlier than they should and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, I'm going to try this method next year for a few of my onions and see if it works better. I like the idea of doing that. So
I like it because when you're starting indoors, it saves a ton of space.
It sure does. Yeah, it makes it much easier. Onions are just, you know, they're just little feathery things.
Yeah.
They're hard to keep separate and all of that. So, yeah.
And since you do need to start them, you know, like February or March, you know, that's just a lot of space to take mm-hmm. up in your house if you're doing them individually. And
I think that's a smart thing to try. So onions and zucchinis, you've got a mm-hmm. whole row of that. I assume some of that's going to be for the market, or do you have some secret way to preserve zucchini?
No, I grew extra for uh-huh. the market.
Uh-huh.
So, and I did sell some today at the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites, but that's definitely more than I would want for
right.
myself.
there are ways that you know, I find that drying zucchini is one way that is a good way. Yeah. Actually, I've just recently decided that the best way to dry zucchini for my use is that I grate it. It dries really fast, and then in the winter, I just put it in a jar, and in the winter, I just grab a handful and I throw into soups. Oh. And it kind of makes it, kind of thickens it and adds some nutrition and whatnot. So that's been my latest. I also do zucchini chips.
I'll have to try that.
But zucchini is one of those things that on a good summer, boy, you can get a lot of zucchini just a few plants.
So. Well, and what I like to do is put plastic down on the ground, a clear plastic, to help heat the soil.
And it makes a really big difference, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And so then next you've got a bunch of, these are winter squash, you said?
Mm-hmm. Delicata bush squash. It's a quicker maturing than your regular delicata squash. It's about 80 days. And I've had great luck with that in the high tunnel and out in the main garden with plastic, clear plastic, to help heat the soil. And they make really great little super sweet
delicata is just amazing, isn't it? It's such a
it's
sweet
my favorite.
Squash. Yeah. And you've done the same thing with that as your zucchini, in that you've got clear plastic down with, I assume, the idea of heating the soil again. Yeah. Which makes a big difference for any of the squash family. They like to have warm feet.
Yep.
So. And then potatoes and chard. Lots of beautiful chard. And what's the deep red? Well, actually, I see two deep red things. What's the first deep red, bigger, like 2 or 3 foot plant? What is that?
That's orc. I think I said that right.
Orac. Like that is, I'm not sure either. I at one time did grow it as well. And it's just a green. Well, it's not really green. As a purple.
That's right. I think it turns green when you cook it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it does. And and you said that you had the same experience, it's that it volunteers itself after you said, okay, I'm done growing this. So, but then further back, there's another purple, and those are lettuces back there?
Mm-hmm. There's a red salad bowl lettuce and a baby red romaine lettuce.
Wow, they're beautiful. That is a deep, rich purple. Which, you know, those anthocyanins that come in those purples and reds are... it's one of the advantages of growing your own food. You get to have multicolored, and I'm a big fan of that. And that's a really rich... What'd you say the name of that really deep purple one was?
A red salad bowl.
Red salad bowl, yeah. And then as we come near the end of the garden is this beautiful asparagus bed that... that I have envy of, and we look forward to seeing a whole lot more asparagus in the future.
Yes.
So... and a little bit of lemon balm. Is that what you said that was? Lemon balm. And this plant here is
That is a marshmallow. That was given to me. I think Lauren McFun gave me that one.
Yeah, so a medicinal plant. So,
And then I don't think you saw, but over there behind the orange fence, we do have a whole another area that is just brassicas.
Oh, really?
Brussels sprouts, kale, Napa cabbage, sauerkraut cabbage,
And cauliflower. I assume you'll be selling some of that at the market, too, when they are ready to be harvested.
Yeah, so. Some of it. This year was a little haphazard. I didn't have as much time to develop enough garden space to really produce for market this year, but in future years
we'll give you more time. We're very appreciative of people selling produce in our community, so keep at it. I look forward to seeing the asparagus someday. So thank you so much, Helena, for
You're
letting
welcome.
Me come to your garden and
Thanks
sharing
for coming.
With us, and it's so fun to see more gardens.
Thank you.